The Holy Trinity, June 7th, 2020. The text, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Although we Christians affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, confess the Apostles' Nicene or Athanasian Creed, and sing the common doxology without much hesitation, do you struggle to explain how the Trinity informs your Christian life? And whoever imagines that the primary purpose of Trinity Sunday is to attend worship services faithfully. For too many, the Trinity is known only by abstract formulations that are unsuitable for preaching and far removed from the spiritual life of the church. A distinction is to be made between existence and essence. Knowing a thing's existence is quite different from knowledge of what it is. Have you noticed that in every other religion besides Christianity, man makes a god of what he is not but would like to be? Although theologians refer to the knowledge of God described by Paul in Romans 1 as natural knowledge of God, it would be more accurate to call it natural revelation. The knowledge of God comes not from within man. It is not innate, but from outside of man, from God himself. He is the one doing the revealing and the making known through the things that he himself and none other has made. God's point, however, is that all are without excuse, both Jew and Greek, because God has made himself known through nature and through law. At best, reason may show the probability of God's existence, but reason's God is never the God of the Bible. In Luther's day, many scholars assigned too much to human reason and natural knowledge and too little to faith and revelation. They domesticated God and forced faith into the harness of natural reason. They concluded that our salvation is found in our doing good works, with which God is pleased and therefore rewards us. But Luther and the Lutheran theologians, guided by the scriptures, argue that knowledge of God and our salvation are found in the same place, in Christ Jesus, crucified and risen for us. As Lutherans, we are accustomed to saying that the church stands or falls on the article of justification by faith alone. While certainly true, that article proceeds from our confession of the co-equality and co-eternity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this sense, the doctrine of the Trinity is the basis for all Christian doctrine. Preaching the gospel is preaching the Trinity. The reverse is necessarily true. To fail to preach the Trinity is to fail to preach the gospel. Before the Reformation, religious leaders would speculate about attributes and distinctions of God that are not found in the Word of God. They were unaware of what God wills toward them. True knowledge also involves God's attitude toward me. Where do you find God's attitude toward you? You find it in the true Son of God, as the center of Scripture, and the one through whom alone we know God the Father. Likewise, no one knows the Son confessing him as Lord except by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father and the Son send to work faith through the means of grace. Why not first establish what we know by reason and nature, and then proceed to Scripture? The simple answer to this is it is not possible to say something about God by unaided reason that does not fall inevitably into idolatry. Although reason may say something true about God, He creates the heavens and the earth, reason fails to know many other things. Rather than being humble, reason presses on and asserts all sorts of reasonable things about God. In this process, reason fashions for itself a God and a world that conforms to its best ideas and reasonable assumptions. But that leads to a war within us. Two things are at war. We are aware that God demands perfection and satisfaction. But the law of the Word of God crushes our conscience by exposing our sin. Therefore, by nature, man is unable to want God to be God. Indeed, he himself wants to be God and does not want God to be God. How is faith different than reason? Faith does not look to reason to make sense of the evil of life. Faith remains steadfast in the promises of God, even when the world is one way and God's promises another. Faith trusts and clings to God's promises, not to fitting and reasonable arguments. Freedom from God means freedom from ourselves. Behold, every false religion in the world is natural knowledge because it relies upon reason and necessarily leads to false understandings of God, false worship, and false forms of the Christian life. This is so because reason can never justify God in his words and therefore desperately seeks to establish its own order of God and the world. What reason achieves is no more than an absolute God or naked God without his word and promises. What good does it do you to know that God exists if you do not know what his will is towards you? At this point, reason reaches its limit. It knows nothing more about God than that he exists, and that he is kind, gracious, merciful, and benevolent. This insight of reason is never content with this limitation and succumbs to two serious defects. The first defect is lack of certainty. You may know by reason that God is able to help, but reason alone does not know if he is willing to help you. The second defect is that reason cannot identify God properly. So, there is a vast difference between knowing that there is a God and knowing who or what God is. Nature knows the former, it is inscribed in everybody's hearts. The latter is taught only by the Holy Spirit, who points to Christ as our salvation. Outside of Christ, there is no proper knowledge of a God. It is only through the Lord Christ that we know the Father's favor and grace. And it is only by the Holy Spirit that we know and call upon Christ as our Lord. To claim knowledge of God apart from Christ is to know nothing but an angry and terrible judge. The triune God reveals himself in the gospel, through which he grants us the merit of Christ and gives us the Holy Spirit, who in us takes hold of Christ's work. In Christ, you will find God, but outside of him, you will not find God, not even in heaven. The faith which is built upon man's human reason is never faith in the triune God. Then, where is our hope? Our hope is found in the divine worship service, in which the liturgy serves as our corrective. In the liturgy, we speak back to the true God, because in the Word of God, we have his words and promises. And that is how we get to know the Father, because according to Scriptures, the Father is known through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Whatever we think we know, we must unlearn, repent of, so that we would rightly confess, according to our baptism, the Blessed Trinity. Right knowledge of the Trinity never occurs in the lofty places of scholastic endeavor, but in the humble action of the Church's liturgy. It is not any particular attribute that reveals God to us, but rather the event of the cross. The shift from attribute to event is significant and informs our liturgy. Here we come to know, worship, and glorify our triune God in the liturgy, including the readings, the hymns, the prayers, the sermon, and the sacraments, not merely by speaking about him, but also by speaking to him, and he speaking to us. It's the meaning of the third commandment to remember the Sabbath day best by not despising preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it. We rightly understand who someone or something is, including the Holy Trinity, when we grasp what is being done for us. Those who seek God apart from his word and sacraments are no different than those wanting to see the Father apart from the man Jesus. The Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism. That we let God be God means we no longer seek to storm heaven to know the God of Scripture, but we receive him in faith as he comes to us in word and sacrament. Which leads us back to our question as to whether this understanding of the Trinity has anything to do with the divine service. For how else can you know what God is doing for you apart from faithful attendance of the worship service? For all theology begins and ends with the divine service. And that is why God says in Hebrews 10:25, not to neglect meeting together during worship, because it is there that we are reminded often that no salvation comes to anyone apart from the Holy Trinity, and specifically the second person, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And may the peace of the Holy Trinity continue to be yours in receiving regularly the Word, even if that reception these days comes through the internet. Amen. We pray. Lord God, you have graciously revealed yourself to us as one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the creeds that teach us to confess you our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Let us never cease to confess this faith in the Holy Trinity, knowing that you make yourself known in the divine liturgy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, look with favor upon Emmanuel's Call Committee as they continue to do the faithful work you have given them, and give to members the patience for that work to be accomplished according to your will. Remember, kind Father, all who have been entrusted with offices of public service among us, fill them with wisdom and make them a blessing of yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, send your spirit of comfort to all who are suffering, those who are grieving or lonely because of the country-wide lockdown. Restore health where you see fit. Remember us in your mercy and give us patience in tribulation. Remind us of the goodness of your grace and your abiding faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.